Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right. It is time for the good, the bad, and the dumb Tuesday edition. All right, let's get things started with the good of the day.
All right, you ready for it?
I am.
Sorry, I just had...
Were you eating something before your segment?
You talked about this a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
You thought you had enough time, like you threw some nuts in your...
That's right.
Peanuts into your mouth.
Didn't quite get them down.
That was the same here.
Yeah, I got you.
Just, I couldn't wash it down fast enough. That's why I was like, you know, sometimes you go a little longer, you know, introducing it. Keep it going, Tony.
Yeah.
All right. The good of the day. Major League Baseball, the Hall of Fame. Just made it possible for Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens to actually get in.
I saw this. Explain, because this is kind of fascinating.
So they created yet another committee. You know, they have all these different committees, like the Veterans Committee.
Yeah.
So they created another one, and this one's called the Contemporary Era Committee. And that's going to be for players from 1980 to the present. And there's going to be two categories, baseball player and non-baseball player. So you can have agents and or general managers, managers and coaches and things like that, you know, announcers, whatever. But this opens the door again for Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens and anyone else who had ties to the steroid era. The big thing, the big caveat is that you aren't eligible for this until 16 years after your final playing day.
Okay, so you retire then 16 years later.
16 years later. So you have, you know, the full 5 years that you have to wait till you're eligible for the Hall of Fame. Then you have the 10 years that you're on the ballot. And then it's just one more year of kind of, you know, hanging out in purgatory before you're eligible.
Am I out of line here? Because, I'm not sure how the politics of this works. But am I out of line here? You know how we talk about, like, boxing? It's like, wouldn't it be just great if we just unified all the titles, all the belts?
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't it just be better if we just unified all these committees to be like, okay, if you've played Major League Baseball, you go through this process, then this process, then this process, and it's all under one committee, one roof.
It would make more sense. But
would it make more sense? Because it feels like I kind of understand where baseball is coming from. What you want is an opportunity sometimes where history comes into a bigger picture. And you may have said no to a player at a particular in his particular window, but then 5 or 6 years later, you go, you know what? I think we read his career wrong, and I think we should really, really reevaluate this player, and you want that player to kind of get a second chance at being able to get back in, without saying, oh, nope, too late. He had his opportunity. He didn't get the votes, and therefore he's not getting in. So I understand what they're trying to do, but at some point, why don't you just go, yeah, you're never really out of the running of the Hall of Fame. You never know.
I think it's wrong for them. Yeah, where I am is, you know, having the 10-year. If you're on the ballot for 10 years, you didn't get in, you're out.
Yeah, because as we talk to many Hall of Fame voters, sometimes it's loaded with players and
right.
You may have had a marginal Hall of Fame career, a debatable Hall of Fame career, meaning it could have been yes and it could have been no, but you fall out of the category because there's just too many good players coming through and they're getting the votes and you're not getting
votes. It should be like if you consistently scored in the, you know, you only got 2% of the vote for three straight years, then you're out.
Right.
You know, because it doesn't look like you're going up anymore from there.
Does the analysis of this feel like Bonds and Clemens? And
well, here's the deal, right? First of all, they're not having to wait because, you know, Bonds and Clemens just exhausted their 10 years.
Yeah.
So, but they don't have to wait a full year for them to be eligible. They're eligible next year because they're being grandfathered in.
Oh, very cool.
Now, where the difference lies is that, you know, with the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame, those 10 years, you're voted in by the writers, which is nearly 300 of them, or over 300, and you have to get 75% of the vote.
Oh, wow.
In this one, in this instant, you have like 48 contemporaries who will be voting. So you literally, I think they said you only have to get about 12 votes.
Okay, interesting. All right. All right, I can
see.
Or
you have to, what is it? I just had it here, and now it still takes 12 votes for election.
Okay.
So with 48 votes available, a maximum of 4 inductees a year can get in. this is kind of alludes to what we're saying. You can stay on this list in perpetuity.
Yeah, that's really cool. All right, that sounds good.
We'll see. Maybe actually, finally Bonds and Clemens will get their due. I don't know if it'll mean as much because they didn't get voted in by the writers. But again, at the same time, I don't know. Maybe getting voted in by your contemporaries is better than the writers because the writers are dumb sometimes.
Yeah. All right. That is good. All right, what's the bad of the day?
Bad of the day is that Notre Dame's athletic director, Jack Swarbrick, thinks the NCAA Division I will break up eventually, and his target date is the mid-2030s.
Okay. I saw this, and I don't agree with him, per se, but I understand what he's saying. I'm going to tell you, I think NIL, transfer portal, and all these things, which I have said over and over again, is good because I think the players have been exploited for decades.
Yeah.
But it's such an unknown territory. It's like it feels like we are messing with something that we really, in the end, don't know how this is going to go.
I mean, just to give you the background, where he is coming from is that he says right now there are teams that want to get out of their conference. Right. They want to switch conferences. But there are so many, I'm going to use the term, archaic rules that the NCAA needs to modify or rectify or change that prohibit them from doing it. So basically what he is saying is that the NCAA has had this, I mean, we've talked about it a lot. They've had this stronghold on a billion-dollar business for years.
Right.
And just sitting as high up on the mountain and literally, we're like making all the money.
And without the level of respect or authority that these schools are abiding by. Like these conferences are saying to the NCAA, there's nothing you can do about it. We're doing this. And good luck trying to figure out how to stop it.
Yeah.
So the NCAA goes, stop or we'll fine you. And then they go, good. Yeah. Tell us where we send the check because we're still doing this.
Before, They ruled with an iron fist, and now I think it's like all of college sports have become woke.
Right, exactly. They've all
to use the term the kids use.
Yeah, they've gotten up and they've said, "Listen, I don't think the emperor has any clothes here. Not really that powerful, and in the end, we're going to do what we want."
Yeah, and I agree. I don't think the NCAA is going to go away. But I do think
for the smaller sports, it'll always be around for the smaller sports. It may have lost a lot of its authority in other things, especially football, because as we've said many times, you do not play for the NCAA championship in college football.
No.
Right? Every other sport, you see the same trophy for rowing to basketball to baseball. You see the same NCAA trophy, but college football doesn't have that. So college football started realizing as an entity, it really did not have to pay attention to a lot of the NCAA rules in terms of how conferences.
Yeah, because they don't need this.
They could still take away scholarships and put you on probation and stuff for recruiting violations. But when the SEC or any of these conferences, when we want to do this, the NCAA really couldn't stop them. So,
that's what I'm saying. I don't think it's the death of it, but I do think they need to go to a think tank, maybe bring in some younger people and go, okay, let's figure this out. Let's change some stuff up.
It's hard because it's really going down a wild road. It's really going down a wild road in this sense that let's say you're Greg Sankey at the SEC, right? Use the SEC because it's the most powerful conference of college football. And it's going to bring in Texas and Oklahoma. It doesn't want to be involved in anything that hinders them because it helps another conference. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like they're like, we're going to do business this way. And the NCAA will say, well, it would be better if you did business that way. And then everybody does business that way. And it's a level playing field. And the SEC goes, I'm sorry, but that's a Big 12 problem. Like, that's not our problem. Like, we're really sorry that you want to make us do less so they can do more and be on an equal footing. But we don't care. Like, that's where it's heading. Like, that's where it's already heading, is that these schools are more or less like, this is how we're doing stuff. And so you want to stop us? Try. Go ahead. And I think that's where it's going to become interesting. But again, NIL, transfer portal, the way college football operates anyway, It's going to be wild. There's no, you know, you can say what you want about Roger Goodell, and we've had our criticisms of Roger Goodell, but he runs the NFL as a unit. Like, you know what I mean? He does his best to run it as a unit. Outside of a few little things teams do, nobody gets out of line and nobody does their own thing. You know, that's crazy. I mean, Dallas has its own merchandise deal and whatnot.
And we could say this, for the most part, he hasn't done a terrible job. I think where a lot of the criticism comes from is the Ray Rice situation.
Sure. But in the end, he at least rules it enough with an iron fist that keeps everything together.
Yeah.
There's nobody at the top of college football that can rule it as a governing entity across the country. There isn't a power that's respected enough that can rule everybody, where Ohio State is listening, Delaware is listening, Alabama is listening, Coastal Carolina is listening, and everybody in between, right? Like, there isn't that one shining voice that is speaking across all of college football. It's just going to be whatever anybody wants to do. So, all right, what's the dumb of the day?
Dumb of the day is that I'm not sure, but Kenny Pickett's draft stock just took another hit.
Yeah, what is going on with Kenny Pickett? Because Peter King's got him going to the Steelers.
Yeah, I don't know if you want him at the Steelers now because his Wonderlic score came back.
Don't take the Wonderlic test, kids. Just don't take it.
You put a lot of weight in that Wonderlic score because that determines whether or not your quarterback has got the gift or not.
Exactly.
So Kenny Pickett scored a whopping 17.
Oh, that's not good. What's good, like 30-something?
Yeah, in the mid-30s. Yeah. I mean, the top one is, you know, 50. I mean, that or the perfect score would be 50. Your boy Malik Willis.
Yeah.
He got 32.
All right, well, does that make him a better quarterback when they're trailing by 8 points against the Ravens with 3 minutes left?
I'm going to say this to make you feel better. You know, Kenny Pickett's got 17, but he is 4 points higher than a not too distant NFL MVP, and that was Lamar Jackson.
Lamar Jackson.
Lamar Jackson scored a 13.
I feel like every year we have a Wonderlic story that comes out.
Every year we do. Yeah.
Every year we get a Wonderlic story where people go, Wonderlic. Oh my gosh! It's like, and then there's like, here, take a Wonderlic test on your own to see how you did compared to these.
I love this. I mean, you know, people were tweeting about it too. I'm not sure who short side option is. He's a former football player. He goes, not saying the scores are irrelevant, but when I took it on my pro day, I scored a 36.
Good for him.
And I'm now tweeting.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Not even playing football. I got a 36 on the Wonderlic.
I'm not going to get in trouble, so I don't want to say it.
No, but is there you want your quarterback to be smart, but do you need him to be book smart?
Right. Well, that's what I mean. That's what I'm trying to get at. I don't want to generalize here, but because I don't want to be like athletes are dumb.
Right.
But they're not dumb. But when there is a point in your life, right? I believe in education. I believe everybody should be cultured, read more books. You know, all of that good stuff. I tried to teach my kids this. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But the reality of it is, can we all be honest here? We need them to play football, right? Like, do they need to know how to do whatever the Wonderlic problems are? Does that translate into football IQ? In the end, how much is an interview? Because I've been on many, many job interviews where I wasn't given a test to see if I was just genuinely intelligent.
Yeah.
Right? Like nobody said, before we talk to you, would you mind taking this exam? This just gives us a general knowledge of your general IQ and problem-solving technique. I normally go in, here's my resume, here's what I did, here's what I can do, here's the way I can make your company better, blah, 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 all the simple things. And why are we taking these NFL student-athletes that are student-athletes at the time going into the pros and going, we just need to see if you're just, I don't know, smart. Like it doesn't seem to make sense. It's like, if they can play, they can play, and you'll figure that out as you go, right?
Like, yeah, here, by comparison, I had to look it up.
Right?
So here's some scores of, I'm going to give you two scores of current NFL players.
Okay.
All right. No surprise at all that Ryan Fitzpatrick scored a 48.
Of course, he went to Harvard.
48 out of 50. But does it shock you that Patrick Mahomes Only scored a 24.
No. Maybe, well, and, I don't know. Should it?
I don't know. I don't know either. But I can tell you this. I think he'll make it as an NFL quarterback.
Right. I think he'll be fine.
Think he's going to be all right.
Yeah. See, that's what I'm saying. I just don't know how much like value people are putting into it.
Yeah. I mean, it's the basic aptitude test. I mean, yeah. It's just, you know, I mean, it's and stuff you've learned all through school that I don't even know if it translates onto a football. I don't even know if you like need to know dog as the cat as rain as to what.
Real quick before we go to the break, let's all be honest. It's like Will Smith in Men in Black, right? Everyone else is taking the exam and they look at Will Smith and they're like, we really want you. Right? He's like, I shot the girl with the books because she's walking through this neighborhood with books, advanced chemistry, and I don't think that's, you know, like they're looking for that kind of player.
Late at
right?
night, you know, with all
yeah,
these
late
aliens
at night with
hanging
all
these around.
Aliens hanging around, and she's got these books. Like that's kind of what they want. They want the player that's a little bit like, I know exactly what you want me to do, and I'm going to do it. That's what they want. All right, it's Good, the Bad, and the Dumb as we continue. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.